Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Love Air Show Weekend, and yesterday I had a chance to go out to NAS Pensacola, Sherman Field, to do media interviews, and also just, you know, they had talked about this STEM day that was going on with all of the local high school students, and we knew it was coming. We talked to Village Terry Shishetti, the commanding officer at NAS Pensacola, on Monday, and they mentioned it, and I'd heard from some other people this is going to be a big deal. There were hundreds, I don't even know thousands, like I'm not great at estimating crowd sizes. I don't think anybody is. But anyway, you know, when I see them, I don't remember the number. They told me the number, but I forgot. So you had, you know, students from all these local high schools who were on the base when it was closed to the public yesterday. And to do this event, to do, you know, like basically career slash opportunity use college, all of that kind of stuff was there. Anybody who does STEM stuff whatsoever had a kind of a booth there in the hangars at the airfield while the Blue Angels and the Thunderbirds were practicing, and some of the other acts. That was the F-35. That was the Air Force version. Was you know, running its paces back and forth, which is, I mean, the F-35 was a great show if you've never seen it. But anyway, having the kids out there learning and getting excited about math and science, just, yeah, it was a really cool day. Really cool. Of course, we got a chance to talk to the Blue Angels and, you know, as I always do, interviewing them. And you heard a little bit of the interview with Lieutenant Commander Amanda Lee, but I'll give you the rest of that. Didn't spend a lot of time with her because we had been assigned to Captain Alex Armitage, who's the number one pilot, Blue Angels flight leader. But I wanted to make sure and say one last goodbye to Amanda Lee before she transitioned off the team. Basically, Saturday afternoon, you know, as soon as it, 2:40, you know, they basically bring the planes back down. They bring them back into the hangar, and, you know, they've already changed all of the placards on the fence that have everybody's got their own, you know, this is parking for Blue Angel 4 and 5 and 6. That all gets changed over, and as of Saturday night, all the new Blue Angels are in, and all the old Blue Angels are just members of the Navy again.
So we're here with Lieutenant Commander or Commander?
Lieutenant Commander
still, Amanda Lee Stalin. It's your last three flights. How do you feel?
It's really bittersweet. We're trying to celebrate the end of a successful season and also kind of say goodbye to the family that we've made for the last 2 to 3 years. So very bittersweet.
I got to imagine that it feels like it'll never end, and then it feels like it was over almost immediately. Is that true?
I will say that this is the first tour where I went into it knowing that I needed to appreciate it while I was in the moment, and I feel like I've done that. I think that I'll leave this team hindsight wishing that I would have appreciated it a little bit more, because it's been an absolutely incredible and special tour.
Do you know what you're doing next?
Yes, I'm going up to VFA 87 up in Oceana for a department head tour.
Okay, so you're going to be in leadership at that point, which, I mean, makes sense. Do you know what your like day-to-day is going to be?
So,
I mean, are you going to be flying?
Yeah, so I'm going back to sea duty. Ultimately, I'll be deployed around this time next year.
Anything else you want to tell the folks in Pensacola after this? I mean, the movie and the Thunderbirds and the McCool, and a lot of things have happened in the last 2 years. Anything you want to tell folks?
Yeah, so the overall support of Pensacola and the city of Pensacola for the Blue Angels is incredible. For the rotating team members that come through here every 2 to 3 years, you guys make us feel so at home that I wouldn't have wanted it any other way. So I just have to say thank you to the city of Pensacola and everybody for the support, not only to me, but for the whole team and the future teams that continue to come through here, because it really does make it home.
Well, thank you for doing what you do. Thanks for serving, and thanks for always being so available to us. I appreciate it. It was a pleasure to meet you and get to know you.
Nice to meet you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. No, she's great. And, you know, I made some kind of a really bad tactical error yesterday. I managed to pick the two tallest Blue Angels to pose for pictures with. So, you know, I mean, I don't know her actual height, but, you know, she's five. I would say 5'11", 5'10", somewhere in that. Maybe, I'm not, could be 6 feet tall, I'm not sure. And Alex Armitas is like 7'4". I mean, I don't even know. He's, you know, above 6 feet. I just stop estimating. And I mean, I think he's 6'4", and he's the flight leader. And so I was looking at my Facebook post yesterday, I'm like, I need to get me some of those 5'9 guys to post with so that I'm like, don't look quite so small. Anyway, so they, Blue Angels fly at 2 today and tomorrow. The Thunderbirds fly at noon today and tomorrow. And I do want to apologize. If you went to watch from the perimeter, you know, like from Fort Pickens or from the water or something like that, and you're like, I'm going to see the Thunderbirds at 1 because Andrew keeps saying the Thunderbirds are flying at 1. They flew like at 11 yesterday. They were just starting when I was leaving. I did not have a chance to stick around for interviews for the Thunderbirds because this is my son's birthday on Halloween. And, you know, go to the base, get the interviews, go home. We got to go to lunch, you know, like so you got to kind of, you know, match your priorities a little bit. But they flew earlier than expected. And, you know, what can I tell you? The Blue Angels flight information is a air show, is a really, really good website or a really good Facebook page. And they had been saying 1 o'clock. I'm like, okay, cool. And then, you know, I'm like, no. So I always give you the information the best I possibly have it. And if I have a source that's, you know, this is where I'm getting it from, I try to tell you. And so if it's wrong, it's wrong. You know, oh, okay. You know, the world doesn't end. Anyway, everybody is saying, I would say, the official from the base time to expect the Thunderbirds is at noon. Also, if you have not seen F-35s perform, that's the Lightning II. You don't get just one. You get two this year. Both the Air Force variant, that's the A variant, that takes off and lands from regular airstrips like Sherman Field. And then the B variant, which is the, the C variant. I was getting backwards. The C variant, which is the Navy variant, which is the aircraft carrier variant with a tail hook and a bigger wingspan or a bigger, you know, like surface area. It's kind of built to be larger to get better lift so that it can take off from the carrier easier. Those are both going to be performing. The only one you're not going to get to see this weekend is the B variant, which is the Marine variant, the vertical takeoff and landing, which I still am amazed that works. I know vertical takeoff and landing devices work. That's fine. I understand how the Harrier works. I understand, you know, how the Osprey works. I don't really understand how the F-35B variant works. It seems impossible to me to just kind of, let's just point the engine down. All good. Anyway, so won't get to see that one, but it is a good show. Lots of other performers as well. 516 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, speaking of the F-35, the B variant, you may not remember this story, but there was a crash of an F-35, a Marine F-35, so B variant, the reason I bring this up is because the pilot survived, the pilot ejected, okay? But this, we always pay attention to aviation in general, military in general, because we're an aviation and military town, and even though there's no Air Force in these two, I mean, there actually are Air Force, like at NES Pensacola, being trained, so that's a misunderstanding. But the primary air bases, right, is Eglin and Hurlburt. But in any case, we pay attention to them because if they're, you know, Coast Guard, Marines, or Navy, they came through here. And they may have trained also at Whiting. And if they're helo pilots, they did train at Whiting. And if they're jet pilots or propellers, they probably trained at Whiting in their, you know, their first part of their aviation training. They might have gone to Corpus. Anyway, we pay attention to these extra things. Well, we had a Marine F-35 that crashed. This was last year in South Carolina. And you may not, might jog your memory, this was the one where the pilot ejected and then the plane kept flying for 60 miles. If that rings a bell for you, that was kind of a weird story. Well, military.com is reporting, even though the Marines have not released this officially, but they're reporting that it was Colonel Charles Trey Del Pizzo, a Marine officer with 27 years of service. And it was kind of a whole set of weird circumstances because, you know, he bailed out and the plane kept going for quite some time. And then he was later on promoted to leadership of a unit. And then, like, 3 months later was removed from leadership from the unit. This was after the investigation had closed, saying that, you know, they weren't going to hold him accountable. There's no punitive measures or whatever. What happened, they're now saying, is they say that he bailed out when he shouldn't have. It was pilot error. I would be, just me personally, as also a civilian, I've read some of the reporting around what happened, and it is pretty rough to call this pilot error because it was a case where, like, all of his electrical systems were misbehaving. Like, everything you count on when you're a pilot, his Del Pizzo's helmet displays went out 3 times. There were a variety of cautions and advisories in the cockpit going off. He was preparing for a landing amidst his approach. He was 2,000 feet in the air, so not very high. Trying to prepare the jet by converting it, you know, for a vertical takeoff and landing, you know, trying to do all of that. And he lost communication with both an aircraft control tower and his wingman after his primary radios failed. So, you know, at this moment in life, everything sucks. You know, and listen, they're trained, of course, to know how to fly in very difficult circumstances. And, you know, in training, everything breaks and see what you do. Okay, that, but still, there is a phenomenon where you get disoriented, and if you can't see what's going on and your instruments are all misbehaving, or even if you can see, it's, you know, your body is trying to tell you one set of things and your instruments are telling you another set of things, and your brain has learned how to trust the instruments and not your body, you know, not your eyes and your internals. But still, it's very hard. And even very, very good pilots can have this kind of disorientation, spatial disorientation, they call it, can have this happen to them. And, you know, when that happens, it's, you know, you learn how to not panic. You learn how to take your time and check everything. I mean, it's a very complicated and problematic thing, but that's basically what they were saying happened. And because, as the report, the pilot's decision to eject was ultimately inappropriate because commanded flight inputs were in progress at the time of ejection. Standby flight instrumentation was providing accurate data, and the aircraft's backup radio was at least partially functional. Oh, well, thank goodness for that. Furthermore, the aircraft continued to fly for an extended period. So what they're saying is the plane was working to fly, and there was some information electronically coming into him that should have been enough for him to not bail out, and then the plane kept flying for another 60 miles and then ultimately crashed. So, you know, I'm just saying, me personally, it's a pretty hard nut to swallow to say that that was pilot error when it sounds like this disorientation in the midst of some very difficult circumstances took over. Now, yeah, it's a $100 million plane. That's not great. But, I mean, that's the nature of flying, and we will always put the life of the pilot over the plane. And if you're at 2,000 feet trying to convert to vertical takeoff and landing in the B variant and everything has gone wrong and you can't see what you're doing, or whatever the nature of the disorientation is going on, you know, me personally, I cut you a lot of slack. 521 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
So this new dose is, well, nope, that's not it. The price is nowhere to be found.
Mr. Green? Hi, it's all good. We've got this.
This is not just help from a Walgreens pharmacist.
Oh, new prescriptions. Cool. Let me check to see if these are the lowest cost options covered by your Medicare plan.
Oh, that's great. Thank you.
This is someone supporting you every step of the way. Chat with a pharmacist today to find help saving. This is the human kind of help. Walgreens.
DJU winds up looking for Ja'Kai down the field. He's got it. Touchdown. FSU.
Mike Norvell and the Florida State Seminoles host the North Carolina Tar Heels Saturday afternoon for an ACC matchup on the Seminoles Sports Network.
FSU takes on North Carolina at 12:30 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Brought to you by Pensacola Hardware, All Season Service Network, A1 Auto Diesel Repair, DeFranco Gas, and Calvert's in the Heights.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at George Stone Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from George Stone Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them today at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
An official message from Medicare.
Medicare plans change from one year to the next. And this year, it's important for you to review your current coverage and compare all your options during Medicare open enrollment. Compare health plans, drug coverage, and costs. See if you can save some money, and don't forget to make sure your drugs are covered. Open enrollment ends December 7th. Visit Medicare.gov or call 1-800-MEDICARE.
Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WER-TV, News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
The Bear Patrol must be working like a charm.
That's specious reasoning, Dad.
Thank you, honey.
Don't shoot. Shoot.
All right, somebody sent me a snapshot. The AI apparently tells him that Mandalee, Lieutenant Mandalee, number four slot pilot, Stalin is her call sign, that she's 5'9". No way. No, I don't believe that at all. That's an AI answer. I don't trust you about that. You know, I could be wrong, but no, sir. I mean, I'm in this picture. There's no chance that she has only got 2.5-3 inches on me. There's no way.
How many hands does she have in that photo?
No, exactly. AI
another
answer,
arm.
Right?
Then yeah.
Oh, somebody did ask. Do you think she's going to become captain or admiral? Well, she has a Mustang. You know, she started off as a mechanic, because working on planes, as I recall. That's from the previous interview. I didn't ask her that this time around. But then she was part of the Seaman to Admiral program, you know, the STA program. So, you know, certainly could. Certainly could. You know, she got a little ways to go before that as a lieutenant commander, right? But, you know, commander and then captain and then admiral. But, you know, certainly possible. And she's one who kind of likes to try different things, you know, so there's a sort of fit for that. But yeah, I don't know, but it's entirely possible. David Wayne is in the new. Oh, by the way, that voice you heard is Jake. Jake is back.
I am. We've got a skeleton we got, crew, replacement.
Wait, not me. I'm the norm. But everybody's ill, and it terrifies me because I'm the only one who's not yet been sick out of all these people who didn't come into work yesterday and today. So I'm like, yeah. Anyway, so Jake is back, filling in for John Pickens.
Yes.
In the newsroom, we have Steve, who you hear doing all of our local news during the day. He's filling in for David Wayne. Hey, Steve.
Oh, good morning. And from one short person to another, should have worn some higher shoes or something like
that. No, man, you can't wear lifts. That doesn't work.
Well, the Attorney General of Pennsylvania is responding to allegations of voter registration fraud in two counties. In a statement yesterday, Michelle Henry says attempts to submit fraudulent voter application forms in York and Lancaster counties were uncovered and defeated, and she noted the fraudulent materials did not include any ballots. Donald Trump suing CBS News for $10 billion for allegedly making Kamala Harris look good, basically, on a 60 Minutes interview. Trump's legal team filed that lawsuit yesterday, claiming the network edited that footage to cast Harris in a positive light. The network, of course, says Trump's claims are false and the interview was not doctored, and we'll see what happens on that one. And here's a reminder, this being another thing you should remember this weekend besides the Blues, clocks are going to go back 1 hour this Sunday. I know. Daylight is going to seem even earlier, getting up this early in the morning. Daylight savings time ends at 2 a.m. on November 3rd, starts again in March of next year. That means an extra hour of sleep. Only Hawaii and Arizona do not observe daylight savings time. But of course, there have been proposed bills that would end time change every year, make daylight savings time permanent.
Yeah, we do get the extra hour, so that is the good news. I just hate the changing of it. It messes everything up. But at least, you know, at this point, we get the apparent extra. You know, it's a little bit like government taxes from this guy and gives to this guy.
But sunset will be at 5 o'clock in the afternoon now.
Yeah, that's right. That's not great. No. Steve, good to have you back, at least for the day anyway. So thanks for the update. 527 on News Radio 92.3. Yeah, this lawsuit against CBS, this is one of the great examples of pure Trumpism. Right? Because suing CBS for shady interview editing is a complete non-starter legally. Like, this is never going to go anywhere. There's no chance that this goes anywhere. And Trump and Trump's lawyers know this. But it's a great thing to announce 4 days before the election. We're suing them for how they've tried to put their finger on the scale by shady. And they absolutely did. They absolutely did edit the interview in at least an inaccurate way, if not a deceptive way. Depends on what you believe about, you know, what their real motives were when the editors did it. You can view it either way. But the end result is they took something that made her look very, very stupid, and they made her look not nearly so stupid, okay, in the final version that they aired on 60 Minutes. And the continuing refusal to give the raw version of this interview is a pretty damning critique of the assumption we've all made that, or confirmation of the assumption we've all made that, oh man, there must be even worse stuff in there that they're not willing to show us. Because the way you disprove this is you say, this was one edit. It was just a light thing we were trying to do to punch up the interview for time constraints. There's nothing else to see here. Here's the 42-minute full version. Watch for yourself and see that she's great everywhere but just one little part. I'll tell you my suspicion about this. It's not only that she looks really bad in the other parts in ways that they didn't show on TV. It's multiple edits. Okay, multiple times they've done this on her behalf, and I bet they had an agreement with the vice president's administration. I bet they had a deal that they won't release the full version. Which you shouldn't make that deal, but in order to get the interview, my guess is they made that deal. And the only way you can explain why they're not releasing it is because there was a deal like that. So what's interesting is going to be to see in if this lawsuit goes forward and doesn't get, you know, if you ever get to discovery on this, is what CBS has to produce in terms of the raw. But the election's going to be long over. I mean, and, you know, either she's going to be vice president or Trump's going to be. This is not going to get resolved for a long time. And $10 billion is ridiculous. It's crazy. Here's why. If 60 Minutes wants to take an interview of a candidate for president and produce it in a way that is biased, unfair, edited, makes them look better than they really do, they're allowed. There's not like some FCC rule against this. There's not like the Ministry of News Purity.
But is it election interference?
It's not. It's just, I mean, if you know, I can produce things that are, I don't, but I could produce, you know, Channel 3, the PNJ, some talk show anywhere, they can produce things that are, in you know, inaccurate. That's part of free speech.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. A shooting in downtown Orlando leaves two people dead, six others injured, taken to the hospital. 17-year-old suspect in custody, according to Orlando Police Chief Eric Smith.
Shortly after the report of shots fired, a shooting suspect was located and taken into custody at Washington and Orange.
The chief adding the suspect was previously arrested for grand theft in 2023. Statogate, Fox News Digital, confirming the White House officials added an apostrophe to the word supporters when President Biden blasted people who backed Donald Trump, calling them garbage.
Director of White House Stenography Amy Sands reprimanding the White House press office in an email for releasing an altered transcript. She writes, quote, please avoid sharing rushed draft excerpts, which are subject to review and might create confusion among staff, media, and the public.
Fox's Brooke Singman reporting. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 5:31 right now, 70 degrees and partly cloudy. I'm Steve Taylor in for David Way on News Radio 92.3. More than 250,000 spectators are expected in Pensacola this weekend as the Blue Angels meet the Thunderbirds for the homecoming air show. Yesterday, the Thunderbirds F-16 fighter jets wowed the crowds from every direction. The Thunderbirds and Blue Angels are both set to fly again today and tomorrow at NAS Pensacola Blue Angels homecoming air show. And the gates for the show, of course, open at 8 a.m. Florida voters are deciding on six amendments on the ballot this year, and one of those proposed amendments could bring politics into the education system. The proposed legislation could require candidates to list their affiliation directly on the ballot. It's labeled as Amendment 1 and could change the way candidates run for school board. State Representative Alex Andrade says running as a nonpartisan will still be an option for them.
These races are right now required to be nonpartisan, meaning the party that candidate's a member of, they're not allowed to really discuss in their campaign messaging. And when you show up and look at the ballot, it's not allowed to have that on there either. This proposal simply changes it to allow folks who are running for these seats to be able to talk about which political party they may be a member of.
Florida held partisan school board elections until 1998, when the Constitution was amended to remove political affiliation. Early voting is continuing across the state. There are 10 polling locations in Escambia County and 6 in Santa Rosa County. Across the nation, there have been isolated incidents of people trying to stop others from exercising their right to vote.
It erupts into violence just like that. It's almost immediate in some cases, and it's very scary. As an American, you're just not used to that.
Santa Rosa County Sheriff Bob Johnson says there are several forms of voter intimidation, such as using weapons or even just yelling and threatening people. In Neptune Beach, police say a group of teenagers attempted to stop people from voting by waving a machete. Johnson says there will be no voter intimidation in Santa Rosa County, as he has deputies near every polling location. The state is helping Escambia County plant more trees. The county announced yesterday it planted 43 trees at Burnville Community Park in Century. The county used a $23,000 grant from the Florida Forest Service to pay for those trees. The county official says the trees will provide shade, help with erosion, and keep the soil intact when it rains. Well, checking the forecast for the Blues homecoming weekend should be a great basically all 3 days. Mostly sunny today, high about 82 degrees. Tomorrow sunny again, high about 85. And Sunday, mostly sunny and high of 80. Right now, 70 in Pensacola, 71 in Gulf Breeze, and 66 in Milton at 534. Next news is 6, breaking news anytime. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
When it comes to enhancing your outdoor experience, you need a companion that can keep up. The Kubota RTV at Parrish is your ultimate utility vehicle for every adventure. Prepping your deer plot or hauling gear, the RTV delivers powerful performance and versatility. Starting at $15,499 cash with a $2,000 rebate. Financing available as low as $285 a month for 72 months. Get your Kubota RTV today and let Parrish Tractor show you why they're more than a tractor store.
That's my timer letting me know that it's time to check the slow smoke barbecue at Sonny's. It's also a reminder that it's time to book your holiday party or catering. We love to serve your business or organization a delicious prime rib to celebrate all your hard work with catering from our 4 locations serving the greater Pensacola area. We also have banquet rooms at our Navy Boulevard and 9th Avenue locations. And speaking of the holidays, give the gift of barbecue and a convenience of a gift card. Sweet and smoky ribs sure do make a mess of those Christmas stockings. Go to sonnysbarbecue.com to find your nearest location and all the details on our holiday catering services.
Hartley, Van Camp, and Robbins.
Orange Man bad.
Yes.
Orange Man Hitler.
That line has completely lost its punch, hasn't it?
Hartley, Van Camp, and Robbins. Weekdays 11 till 2 after Pep Talk.
It seems like it has. I mean, I still think it freaks people out on the left. And as you pointed out yesterday, David, this guy's been sitting on this information for more than 5 years.
Hartley, Van Camp, and Robbins. Weekdays 11 till 2 before Guy Benson. News Radio Pensacola.
Informative, local, dependable.
There is some construction underway. It is our duty and obligation to the citizen to let them know when, well in advance, of when these things are going to get enforced.
So that's Mayor D.C. Reeves talking during the press conference. Of course, we talked with him about this yesterday as well, that the red light cameras are coming, but not yet. Okay, it's not like it's going to be next week. Just there's a little bit of construction work that's being done at 9th Avenue and Bayou and at 9th Avenue and Fairfield. They don't have a timeline yet. They will let us know as soon as they actually have one. Mike Wood is Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. He joins us now as he does every single Thursday. Mike, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thank you and good morning.
Is that, yeah, thank you. Good morning to you. Is that basically where we're at that you just don't really know? I thought we had been still waiting on equipment. As far as you know, are we now, like, we have the equipment, it's just installation that we're waiting on?
Some of it is in, and you're right, we were waiting on equipment and other logistical, there were other logistical reasons why we were slow in getting this project going. But they are, two intersections are in progress now, and we'll have those up and running very soon.
Okay, all right, very good. And it'll be those two intersections first, and then the other three intersections subsequently, and obviously lots of lead time, and as the mayor was emphatic to say yesterday, a kind of a grace period where we do warnings instead of actual pay tickets, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly how it's going to do. And we do that all the time on new when new things are coming, such as the red light cameras, such as the new camping ordinance and things. Anytime you have something new, that we're going to make sure people are aware of it, do a lot of media campaigning with it, and just stopping people and warning them before tickets are written. So that's not something we're just not going to come out swinging a hammer and writing tickets. But and one other thing I want to say about red light cameras is we hope that they are a deterrent is what they're out there for, but we hope they don't make a dime.
Right.
And, you know, there's some people that are opposed to red light cameras, and we can certainly understand that. But if you don't want, you know, they say they're revenue makers and that sort of thing. So all you got to do is not run the red light,
yep,
and they won't make a dime.
It is the
easiest.
So
we're hoping that's going to be the end result.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that's the easiest way to do it, is to counteract that, is to not run the red lights. We want them there as a deterrent, and hopefully the injuries from accidents at the intersections where they're going are going to go way, way down. That's the object.
Absolutely. You know, the old expression is two things in life are given, death and taxes. Well, I'll tell you what, you can't avoid paying your taxes, but you can 100% avoid paying the red light camera fee, because all you got to do is not run a red light. I mean, it's really that simple. You guys had, your officers had an encounter that could have been awful, and it's really a contrast with another situation that happened here locally, involving somebody coming to the door with a gun. Now, we all know, you know, I think by now what happened in Okaloosa County, this horrible situation where an airman wound up getting shot because he came to the door, you know, with a gun, pointed down the officer, saying he was afraid for his life, wound up shooting and killing him. Now he's been terminated, facing charges. And I mean, it's awful. But your officers had a situation that it went very differently. But tell me what happened, because I think this is... it's amazing that it turned out this way.
Yeah, a couple of things to note here before I let you know what happened is, you know, a lot of times things happen, incidents happen, and the first thing that people want to say is that the officers were untrained, they need better training, they acted too quickly. You know, it's in police work, we do get trained. We're constantly in training, and we have to make split-second decisions. And that's something that has to be done almost every day. So what happened here on Sunday night at the Carlton Palms Apartments on Garden Street, officers responded to a disturbance. When they got to the door of the apartment, they could hear a lot of yelling going on inside. The officer knocked on the door, announced that they were the police, and a male opened the door yelling at them, and he had a gun in his hand. That gun was then aimed toward the officers, and the officers had to make that split-second decision. They chose to retreat to cover as they were yelling commands for him to drop that weapon. They were doing that simultaneously, and fortunately, the individual did as they asked and dropped the weapon, and they were able to make that arrest without further incident.
Wow. I mean, thank God it turned out that way. But, I just don't. Did he know they were police when he was pointing the gun at them? Do we have reason to think that it was obvious to him that they were cops?
Yes. I mean, they were in uniform and they yelled multiple times that they were police officers while banging on the door. They knew there was an active disturbance obviously going on the other side of that door. So we're just glad things happened the way they did. And again, the officer had to make a split second decision. And fortunately, things turned out to where no one was injured.
Oh, my God. Because, look, the way it turned out, I'm so glad. But, you know, this could very easily have wound up with a dead cop. And because of that restraint, which turns out to have been the right move. But, man, have you talked to them? Do you know if in their minds the Okaloosa County incident was in the back of their minds? Or have you had a chance to talk to them about what was going on when they restrained themselves?
No, I haven't. But, you know, you don't have time in a situation like that. You don't have time to think about anything except that split second decision. Because, you know, if you hesitate, it could cost the officer his or her life. There's no doubt about that. But at the same time, if they're able to make sure no one gets hurt, and that includes the person with the gun, that's obviously the route that we want to go. Sometimes police work can get ugly, and sometimes we have no other choice. But fortunately, this time things worked out well.
I'm trying to imagine it because, you know, I did I've done a couple of the simulations and I've done it, you know, the Scammy Sheriff's new operation. But when I was at Milton one time and we got a chance to do their simulator, and the bad guy had his hands reached behind his back and grabbed a gun, and I shot him twice. And I was really proud of my reaction time and everything else. I can't imagine being in a real situation where a guy grabs a gun, points it at you, is yelling, there's a disturbance, points it at you, and you retreat to cover. Like, I just... anything could happen in that moment. That is unbelievable. Back to Mike Wood. Mike, I am floored by this response. You know, there was a couple of years ago, I remember it was in the middle of all of the like race riot, George Floyd kind of stuff. And I remember specifically there had been so many reports of various police involved shootings. And you guys had an incident where a cop was getting hit and beat up basically in an incident where he was fully justified in shooting the bad guy. And he didn't. He just subdued him physically. And I remember I did a report for the National News. I did it for Fox. And I said, in Pensacola, police officer restrains himself from using deadly force. And I thought, because we never hear that story. You know what I mean? That was news. And they aired it. And I thought that was good. But this is one of those stories. Like, this is an amazing restraint story, right?
Yeah, you know, I keep up with the news cycle. That's pretty much a huge part of my job, listening to incidents in other places. And, you know, you always hear about when things go bad. You always hear about either when the officer gets shot or they have to shoot someone.
Yeah.
You don't ever hear about it when things go good. And things went very well that night for our officers and for the suspect that was involved. And I think it's very important to bring that out when good things happen. You know, it's not going to make headline news, but people still need to know that the officers that we have at the Pensacola Police Department are very well trained. They have to make those split second decisions. And this is one of the times that they made the right decision and no one got hurt.
Well, I know that P&J and Channel 3, they listen to the show, and I hope that they're listening, or I hope you guys reach out to them and work it up. Because, you know, a story that P&J prints or a story that Channel 3 prints has a, you know, much better likelihood of matriculating up to the national. And I would love for that to be a national story, just of a, you know, restraint and a good side rather than something else. So anyway, you know, here's hoping. my fellow members of the national news media, maybe not always you know, the best at this stuff, but I know our locally will do a good job with it. One of the things I also wanted to talk with you about is just Halloween safety, because today is Halloween. I know we talked to the sheriff about it, and we're running those spots, but running those audio clips, but we can't remind people too many times. There are so many ways that Halloween can become a disaster. Can you maybe just take a second or two and talk about ways to keep your kids safe and things parents and drivers and homeowners and everybody should be doing tonight just to make sure this is an all-good holiday for folks?
Yes, and we talk about this every year, and we can't talk about it enough. The thing is to keep the kids safe. This is a happy occasion for them. Go trick-or-treating in neighborhoods that you're familiar with. Try to go as early as you can. You know, everybody likes to go after dark, and that's okay too. But when you do that, only approach homes where the light is on. And obviously the people inside are going to welcome the trick-or-treaters. The bright costumes, parents or an adult needs to go with them to make sure they're okay and to inspect everything that they got. And for motorists in the areas, in these subdivisions, please drive slow. Treat every subdivision this evening as a school zone, but not only when you're going forward, but when you're backing out of driveways as well.
Amen. And by the way, we don't call it candy inspection. We call it candy tax in our house. You know, that you inspect it in order to make sure that the wrong ones wind up in the right mouth. You take a little
bit
of that.
Yeah, exactly. I did that with my kids. Yeah, that's right. If they brought home a Heath bar, that's coming to me.
Yeah, you don't get to keep the Almond Joys or the Snickers. I mean, some of them, but not all of them. Mike, last question I always like to ask, is there a cop myth or a did you know from this week that you think of?
Yeah, and before I get to it, it's a did you know. And before I get to it, we were talking about the Bearcat last week, and I forgot to mention something that was hugely important. That's the fact that Sheriff Simmons and his command staff have always come to our aid when we needed a armored vehicle. Mm. They did it for many years, and we appreciate that. And, you know, if theirs is ever up on the rack getting an oil change and an emergency happens in the county, we're ready to return that favor with ours.
Oh, no, that's a great note. And it hits at the, you know, the cooperation and the jurisdictional sharing that basically you guys in ECSO go. Thank you. I appreciate that note. That's a good note. What's your did you know or your cop
myth? So tell me what you think when you hear Bearcat. What is that? Is that a brand?
That's a donut.
You know, something.
I think of bear claw. That's what I think
donut?
Of. Yeah. Yeah. That's what I think of. I think I hear bear claw in my head because I'm always hungry.
Okay. Well, here's a small fact that you'll be, I mean, this is going to make everybody's day, I'm sure. And there's a lot of sarcasm there, but Bearcat is actually a brand. You know, it's like when people say jet skis, you know, jet skis that doesn't cover all of them. That's the brand, and Bearcat is as well, but it's also an acronym, and that Bearcat stands for Ballistic Engineered Armored Response Counterattack Truck.
Huh.
there you go.
So Bearcat isn't just a label. It's actually the acronym crafted to sound super cool.
Yes, it is. It's a brand for one company that makes those armored vehicles, but at the same time, it's an acronym as well.
If you can ever figure out who came up with that acronym for Bearcat, those need to be the people in charge of naming the bills in Congress. Because that would be, they come up with all these goofy names that are so misleading, and that one's actually on point for what the thing actually is. That's great. Mike Wood, he is Public Information Officer for PPD. Mike, as always, thank you for the time. We'll talk to you next week. Absolutely. 549 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're thinking about the next vehicle that you want to drive, a good quality used car from Frontier Motors is a great solution. And that's where I buy, because I love their idea, which is to provide, you know, cars that are a year, two, three, maybe four, okay, years old, or years young, if you want to think about it that way. 10, 30, 50,000 miles, you know, cars that I'm going to put 100 or 150,000 or 200,000 more miles on, but you can drive a long time, and they warranty them to 100,000 miles in 10 years, because they're only selling good cars. Like, when they go shopping for cars, they're only trying to buy cars that they know are going to be high-quality ones that you can count on once you get, because they're going to stand behind them. They don't want to, you know, buy something that they're going to stand behind that's not going to be good. So you can count on that. And I know that they're, you know, almost like emphatic about this, because they followed up with me after we bought our Honda Odyssey. 6 months later, anything wrong with the car? No, it's fine. A year later, anything wrong with the car? Why are you bothering me, kid? No, but seriously, like, there was a key. Just one of the physical keys didn't work. They said, bring it in. Have it fixed. I'm like, you know, I know it's going to be, you know, $100, $150. No, on us. So a year after we bought the car, they reached out to us to make sure everything was right with it and then fixed a key that didn't work on them. What? Like, who does that? Well, they do, because that's their way of doing business. Is they don't just want to sell you a car and never see you again. They want to sell you a car and see you every time you want to buy a car again, because you know they're going to take such good care of you. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Change. Positive change is happening all around us. Greater Pensacola is growing. And that's why I joined the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Join us. The Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. We believe local businesses are the cornerstone of a great community.
Join Keith and Pam, your insurance experts with Verus Health Partners, Monday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Learn how to save money on your healthcare costs. Find the right insurance products that best fits the needs for you and your family as you head towards retirement or are looking for options now. They will be taking your calls and questions Monday at 9 with Verus Health Partners on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
More than just a location, the Port of Pensacola is a thriving economic engine and a strategic gateway fueling growth and prosperity across Northwest Florida. Since 1754, it's become the cornerstone of the region's economic vitality, with over 20 dynamic businesses calling it home, including major players like Cemex Materials, General Electric Verona's Wind Energy, Offshore Inland Marine, Pete Stevedore, and the world-renowned American Magic Sailing Team. Discover the possibilities at portofpensacola.com.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate, from managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and their HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator Method of Adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
New South Window lives southern weather, and our products are designed to keep the intense heat out and the cool air in. We prioritize keeping your family and your home comfortable all year round. That's why our energy-efficient windows and doors are made, installed, and guaranteed for life.
For a limited time only, save 35% off on New South windows and doors. Visit newsouthwindow.com/radio to learn more.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Levenkamp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Sweep the leg. You have a problem with that?
No, Sensei.
No mercy.
Good morning, 5:54 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. When you're listening to that, Jake, are you thinking how much better you could do it?
How did you know? You know me so well. I do. Actually, I've spent many days actually learning that tune to play it like the two drummers did together. Because there's a way you can play it where you're kind of comping both parts.
Oh,
and it's very difficult, but it's also very fun. Yeah, I love playing that song. I got to play that song with Dickie Betts.
And by the way, John Pickens is out sick again today, but you know, hopefully he'll be back on Monday. But this gives us an opportunity to bring back Jake, our long lost producer. Oh, who,
where's my applause? There we go. You like
who,
that?
Who decided to leave us and go on tour, which as a drummer is a nice thing, right? That's a good thing.
Yeah,
good performing.
Yeah, so childhood dreams, you know.
Anyway, good to have you back with us for a little while.
Thank
for
you.
Today, anyway.
Yeah.
Let's go into the newsroom now, where another sit-in. We have Steve Taylor is sitting in for David Wayne this morning. Also out sick. I'm the only one who's not sick, so hopefully that persists. I want them to be better, and I want me to be not get there. Steve, what do you have in the news headlines, sir?
Well, looks like November is starting off with the release of the always highly anticipated monthly jobs report. It's expected October's employment numbers will come in dramatically lower than the previous month, as this report will showcase the effects of two hurricanes and a number of labor strikes. And speaking of strikes, the Boeing machinists will vote on a new contract on Monday. That union's been on strike since September the 13th. They rejected several offers that union leadership thought would pass. The latest offer would raise wages 38% over 4 years, which is a compound increase of 43%. A teenager is facing charges in connection with an incident that happened at a haunted house in Ohio. Some scare actors at the Joe Boo Evil's Events, Evil Unleashed attraction there, reported that a 17-year-old boy threatened them with a knife. Police arrived, took the teenager into custody. He told officers he didn't plan to hurt anybody, but he just got scared. Well, haunted house, really?
Well, that's so hard to expect.
Yeah.
Tell me run the name of this place by me again.
Well, it's basically the Joe Boo Evil Events Evil Unleashed attraction, and that was in Berea.
Yeah, I think that the simple name of the haunted house entails a disclaimer.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that you are attending the evil house of evilness is consent. Like, you're in, you know?
And it's Halloween.
That's exactly right. Steve, thanks so much for the update. Went to the haunted house, got scared. Well, I guess you're not getting a refund. You know, the product worked as advertised. Oh, somebody texted me and said, regarding the Trump lawsuit against CBS and 60 Minutes, it has to do with the FCC rules about news distortion. Yeah, okay. So broadcast airwaves are given on the condition that we're serving the public interest. So there's all kinds of things that you have to do in order to justify that continuously. That would, and as far as it applies to 60 Minutes, it's interesting because it would really apply to the people who own the stations and therefore the licenses that are broadcasting the material. I don't know how much of that would apply to 60 Minutes themselves. I'm not sure what their ownership stake is. Because sometimes if you're just producing the information, you know, and then somebody tries to air it, well, it's the airing station that's ultimately kind of responsible. It's usually how these things shake out. But you'd have to make the case, I believe, that they are violated the public interest and therefore, I guess, would lose their license. I'm not sure about financial penalties. It's a part of the law, I will confess. It's a little bit arcane for me. Me saying that there's no way this lawsuit, I can't imagine this lawsuit winning. It looks like a PR stunt to me. But then again, you know, Trump can buy the best lawyers around. Also, the claim that they have made Kamala look good when she was really bad, I think they're probably going to be protected by the general practice that TV stations or the TV, you know, producers do of editing interviews for timeliness. Now, if it turns out from the Raw that they really made her look like, it'd be like if, I don't know, ABC, it was ABC who did the original debate with Biden. You know, if they had done it on delay, not live, and then they had taken out all of his fumbles and gaffes, and, you know, you'd start to get into the territory. But if CBS is right and it was just this one time and it was a pretty inadvertent thing, or it was not for the purpose of making her look good, but for some other reason. So maybe Discovery is going to prove more. If you ask me to bet, I'm definitely betting against on this lawsuit. But, you know, sometimes lawsuits turn out the way you don't exactly expect. I suppose that's true also. Hey, air show this weekend. Blue Angels fly today at 2 and tomorrow at 2. The Thunderbirds are flying at noon. And then we got two F-35 demos, among many other things, flying in and around them. So it's going to be a great show. Gates open at 8, front and back. Local news
every hour and breaking news when it matters most. News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.